people are selling people this lifestyle of luxury cars, big Rollies. I'm not into that. I'm here for the long term. I want to make money consistently with a strategy that's back tested. I don't gamble. I don't go to a casino. So why am I going to do it with my funding accounts and my funding business? So I always say it's easy to teach someone a strategy, but the value that I've gotten out of the Black Shirt Club was more mental aspect. I started Q4 off with my funding account. Got started. I'm up just over 6% now.
Great.
It wasn't bad. November was a very good month for me. I think I had a 87% success rate during the
That's
month.
great.
My two losing days, and my one losing day was off tilt, chucked 4% away and recouped 2% on my trade setups because I was rushing. So I started making notes of my emotional state. What am I feeling at that moment in time? How do I feel when I wake up in the morning? So when you do go through a bad patch, I can marry up my emotional state on that day with a DRC of how my performance was.
What's up, traders? Welcome back to the Day Trading Show. Today, I'm sitting down with my co-host, Mr. James Bruce, and our special guest, Kurt. Kurt is from South Africa, so I'm not going to try to pronounce his last name. He's a Black Shirt Club member. He's in our trading mentorship group, and he's one of our most successful stories of 2023. So I'm bringing him on today, kind of like a highlight reel. We're going to talk about what he did before the Black Shirt Club, how the Black Shirt Club made a difference in his trading, and how much money he's made since joining the club, which is what everybody wants to know. So enjoy this episode. If you're interested in joining the Black Shirt Club this year, just book a call with me. There's links on my website, links in the description, wherever you're watching or listening to this. We'll get you set up and see if it's a good fit for you. It's not a good fit for everybody because of the workload that is required, but clearly you're going to hear from Kurt that it works if you put in the work. So if that sounds like something you're interested in, like I said, book a call. Thank you for being a listener. I appreciate you always. Now enjoy the episode. Real quick, guys, I want to thank today's sponsor, Top One Trader. There's many, many prop firms for you to choose from. I know. So why Top One? First, they're regulated by a bunch of different agencies that most of these other firms are not. Number two, they offer 150% refund on your challenge, which I think is a great refund when you get that first payout. Number three, you can start with $400,000 in initial funding with them and scale that to $5 million. So it's very scalable. They're very competitive in their max daily drawdown rules, their gain target rules. All of it is basically the same as the other firms that you guys all know. Check out Top One. I've got a link and a discount code down in the description, maybe flying in above my head. Check that out. Save 20%. If they are running a bigger sale, use that discount code. Maybe it's Christmas, maybe it's Thanksgiving, whatever. Use that discount code. But if you'd like to still give ASFX credit for introducing you, please use our affiliate link. We appreciate that very much. It helps us grow the channel, do more podcasts, travel to get bigger guests, and so on and so forth. So thank you to Top One. Thank you guys, as always, for being listeners. Let's get back to the conversation. All right, traders, we are back with another very special episode to start 2024. So today I'm sitting down with my co-host, Mr. James Bruce in the building, and fellow South African, Kurt. I'm not going to try to say your last name, Kurt. I'll let you introduce yourself, but Kurt is one of our Black Shirt Club members. James is already laughing at me. He has been working with us for the last 6 months, and he specifically has been working with James. So I'm bringing him on today to talk about his experience in the Black Shirt Club, the success that he's found, and give some of the new guys, some of the struggling guys, some inspiration, some motivation, and some hopefully good tactical tips to help improve your trading. So James, Kurt, it's good to see you guys. Kurt, how do you say your last name? Pronounce it for us.
Janssen van Rensburg.
See, like, it's better that I did not try to say that, bro. Like, it would just sound awful. People would be clipping my audio.
My name and my surname doesn't fit on my bank card, so.
There you go. So Kurt and I actually met each other in Atlanta earlier this year. Kurt travels for one of the jobs he was doing, and we decided to meet up, which was super awesome. It was good to always meet another, not just fellow trader, but a Black Shirt Club member. But like I said, James, you guys have been working together for 6 months or so, right? And why don't you speak for a second on the coaching from your side, James, what you saw as far as like potential in Kurt?
Yeah, so Kurt and I have been working with each other. I think, Kurt, you joined in March of this year, about March, maybe just after March, April this year. And we started working together. And I think, Kurt, the first thing that I noticed from Kurt when he came in is that he asked a lot of questions, but he came to the coaching sessions prepped with those questions, ready to ask how do I do this? How can he improve this? And always looking to get better. And then he would go back and actually do the stuff that I would tell him to do or recommend him to do. And then he would come back with more questions the next week. Okay, I did this, but now I need to do this. So I think that was one of the biggest things that Kurt did, and he quickly found success. He passed his first challenge with our Forex funds, and then got his refund, and it got a payout with them before they ended up going down. So that was a good thing, though, that within the 3 months that we had worked together, he had passed a challenge, a phase one and phase two, and had got a refund and a payout with them. So that is just the success that that Kurt did. He came in and he immediately started to work and ask questions, and shows that once you do that, the work speaks for itself. It works, you know, the Maxxer clubs.
Yeah. All right. So now, Kurt, why don't you share your experience from your side, what it's been like with James?
So my start with the Black Shirt Club was that first phone call the two of us had, and we had a very candid conversation regarding being scammed out of money on this front. And I said, this is the last chance. If this is a bullshit story, I'm done. I'm not going to even carry on with the charts, throw money into the market. Didn't have a lot of experience within the trading space, moved into the Black Shirt Club, obviously started leveraging off yourself, Tom, James, and then Evan came into the picture. And I always say it's easy to teach someone a strategy, but the value that I've gotten out of the Black Shirt Club was more mental aspect, where you start keeping yourself accountable. You start learning your edge, your moves, and just stuck to the basics. James was always there. Why are you in this trade? That's a bullshit trade. You know, people will call out, yeah, you're going long, I'm going short. So it was just the finer details that the Black Shirt Club brought into it. And everyone's in the live chat. We've had some good laughs, serious trading days. And for anyone that wants to level up that experience, definitely do it. The money value that you put into this, hands down, is not worth it. It is so little compared to what you're going to gain at the end of the day.
Quick, Kurt, before you keep, I appreciate you saying all that, bro. Can you tell us about that scam? The original scam that we spoke about, what happened to you before? Because I think it's just a crazy story. I think people will.
Yes, I won't mention names. I signed up. I saw a trader on Trader Advert. You sign up for this course, study with us. Signed up, paid my money, did my week course, and I'm like, God, there's nothing. I didn't learn anything. You just gave me a fucking piece of charting software. That's basically all you did. With a couple of pre-built defined strategies, you still have to pick it up. Nothing about price action, none of that. And finished the course. Oh, no, but you can stay on for the extended course. You pay an additional, I think it was like $20,000 that they want us to pay. And I put my deposit down on 5K. And I realized this is a bullshit story. I might as well take that 5K, go to FTMO, and fucking YOLO 5K on funding challenge. I might
get James, can you believe this guy was charging 20 G's, bro? That's expensive. Isn't that business? There's nobody charging that much money other than, I guess, these people that are running scams. Like, yeah. It's just,
you know, and it's like they throw you with all these little Excel spreadsheets to say, if you do this and you this consistent, you make 2% gain, we'll give you a funding account of 25K. And I'm like, I can literally take 5K. I can go buy a max funded account with FTMO, fail it, and I've still got another 4 goes to go, you know?
So what did you like about me that made you come to consider ASFX?
You were my last resort. I noticed you on Twitter, and I was like, okay, I'm going to book this call and let's see what happens from there, you know? And we had our discussion regarding the BSC. I bought the training material, did my training material. I signed up for the Black Shirt Club. And like I said, back then, I'm still here and I'm still in for another 6 months. So you boys can't get rid of me.
Well, you're making money, bro. I think that's why I wanted to have you on the podcast, because you're one of the guys that has come in, gotten funded, been able to make money, see, like James said, see the payout, see the refund, which makes the program worth it. I think that's a big part of it. Also, I think another part of it that we don't really talk about enough is just how much money you avoid in losses in being around a group like this too. Do you want to speak on that for a second? Just like right.
I would have blown accounts, personal equity, funding accounts. The thing is that with each markup that we put through, the coaches will jump in and say, okay, all right, but there's not enough text on here. What was your thinking behind this? Why are you going long on this? All right, but you're not coming off a support level. You're not coming off that. No, you're reading this completely wrong. And that's just once that starts kicking in and you consume so much with everyone else involved, it's like a family, you know, everyone trades differently. Yet I've picked up certain skill sets from yourself, from Tom, from Liam, the mad scientist, you know, so it's like you take all of these small pieces that certain people do very well and you start incorporating it with your strategy that you taught us and you find your edge. I know what I've got a specific place where I anchor my VWAP on in the morning, pre-open, and I find a niche pre-open before the London Open. Before all the big volume comes in and all the big players come in, I snag in our bag, and then I start looking for the bigger moves at the end, during the course of the London session and New York session. So, and everyone keeps everyone accountable. My DRC is not there. Austin, you're probably the first one to say it. You stab a man. It, point blank, it's just like, it's shit. You haven't done your work.
I don't mean to be, I just am very direct with it because I know when you come in and you pay that much money to be in the mentorship, there's expectations of like, hey, this needs to, our goals need to be set. They need to be met. And I think in order to do that, you need a standard of work. We, me and James talk about it all the time. Just like the level of work that I think you need to be producing at in order to be consistent here. I think the daily report cards are a must. I can't, I mean, you've done a lot of backtesting. I can't understand the people that don't want to do any backtesting and don't want to do the report cards and review. So maybe just for a second, also, let's speak on that. I mean, James, why don't you go first? Just because I know even like as you've progressed, markups have been a big part of your growth. So why do you think people don't want to do it?
Yeah, I got you. Oh, okay. I lagged out for a second, but I got you now.
Load shedding for a second.
Yeah, load shedding. Yeah, there's two of us. Yeah, we got 66% chance of getting load shedding here on the call today.
Exactly. That's the name of the podcast. So wait, come on. Why do you think people don't want to do markups? What are your thoughts on it? Because you didn't really comment on this when we were in London.
Yeah, personally, for me, I know that when I get lazy with markups, it's because it can be tedious. Like I can sometimes take a picture of the charts and I know what I'm looking for, but I don't have to put that much text on it because I know what I'm looking for. I'm saving that markup, but then I forget that, you know, when you come back in 2 weeks' time, sometimes you're not going to remember what you needed to see or what you were looking for on that markup. So I think it can be boring. Personally, like,
definitely.
Don't get me wrong, markups are not fun. Daily report cards are not the funnest things, but once you start to get into a rhythm of doing them, they can become fun because you're doing them as a group, as a team in the BSC, and you actually realize that, hey, man, this is actually what makes us money consistently. Like today and yesterday, I was actually going back and looking at, because it was slow trading days the last 2 days, I was going back and looking at my old daily report cards from the last 3 months and seeing, okay, how can I make more on my good days and how can I lose less on my poorer days? And just going through those, and it actually keeps you accountable to actually doing them. I think Kurt can also account to this as well. But I in the last, like since going to London and coming back, I've been a bit like offish off my game, and I was getting back quite nicely into a good rhythm. And then obviously went to London and came back and I've been sick and everything like that. But Kurt went through a similar stage where he went to the States for work and then came back and it was like, in and out with work. And because Kurt and I used to be every single day would be in the live like at 8 o'clock South African time in the morning and be chatting there for like 4 hours straight until we had to go get lunch. But Kurt was like, you're also in that like phase and you've just come back into that rhythm now. And I think that's from doing daily report cards again. I think daily report cards and doing that sets a good tone for your work ethic in your trading, right? Kurt, would you not say that?
Yeah, I feel like that structure that you and that discipline that you put in every single day. Austin and I had a chat about it this week. I got a very strict regimen when I wake up in the morning. If I fall out of that regimen, I can feel my whole day is wobbled. I don't have to. I just want to rush into something, rush into a trade. So stuff like that. It is a key part of my success this year with the Black Shirt Club is actually getting that structure built. And once you have that structure, it's mind-numbing. It's just, you just rinse and repeat. It's like second nature to you. And yeah, markups was probably the worst thing that I've ever done. Didn't enjoy it at all. And then
I don't think anybody really does, bro, but you enjoy the benefit of what it gives you.
But when you start seeing the fruits of your labor start paying off and that money starts hitting your account, I've even gone as far as doing markups of winning trades, and why am I not in that trade? Why wouldn't I take that trade? Oh, the stop
Sure.
loss is floating here. It's not enough structure for me. I just don't want to be in this trade.
Yeah.
I'm doing that now.
Right.
Because I can see what the benefits are at the end of the day.
I think people are lazy too. That's, I mean, James, even if you're sick, like that's a good excuse to not do markups. But like when you're not sick, you're not normally lazy and you normally have high quality markups. Same thing from Kurt. But I think often people, like you just said, will check out. It's not fun to do the markup, so they'll just check out. Let's transition away from the markups. I want to talk about the funding companies. We talked about the big scam. I want to talk about, you know, we've talked about the mentorship a lot. Let's talk about your experience with MyForex funds and now the success that you've seen in the last couple of months finishing out this year. So first, start with MyForex funds, Kurt. How did you feel when they went down? Because you had worked so hard to pass that funding challenge. And you know what I mean?
That was a kick in the teeth for me. You know, it's like you work so
for
hard
all
to
of
get
us.
Through your first funding account on Cloud9, you get your refund, you get your payout, and the next morning, goddamn, there's gone. You know, I went on almost like on a tilt phase because now I'm like, fuck, I just lost this. What do I do? How do I bounce back from this?
Yeah.
And I think, James, you went through the same thing. We spoke about it in the live chat. That really put a damper on myself, and I had to rein myself back in and actually start focusing on what I do well instead of focusing about something that out of my control. It is done. You know, we move forward, buy new funding accounts, and we just get started again. But it was a mental blow to myself when that happened. It wasn't a very happy camp.
Yeah. I think it was for all of us. I mean, like you said, James, you got knocked back a little bit too when that happened. So when you decided that it was not going to set you back too far, what was the next step? Because I think a lot of people listening probably will relate to what you're saying, Kurt, where that the situation really set them back mentally and financially. A lot of us. We had our calls. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah. So the thing that I did after the MFF, I noticed that I was itchy. I wanted to get back into the market. Oh. You know, I need to race through a funding challenge. And with those mental notes that I kept taking on a daily basis, I realized I'm not in the right mental state to do this right now. So I reverted back to paper trading. I don't want to risk capital because I'm not where I need to be. Mentally, I wasn't sharp enough. I was edgy. I wanted to rush through everything. I went back to paper trading for a month, got myself back into the routine and got over that MFF thing and moved forward, purchased my funded FX accounts, funded engineer accounts, and just got back into it. I removed myself and I removed the risk in the market for doing stupid things by just going back to paper trading. I know how to trade. I know my edge. I need to get my mental state back into place. And then we start capitalizing on that. And that's all I did is literally just pulled away for a month and did paper trading.
Yeah.
Just to
I mean,
get
I think
that mental stability.
It's really good for people to hear that because I think that's what a lot of people need to do. I've talked a lot on the podcast about when my dad passed, me taking the time away from trading completely. I think that those breaks are really important. It takes maturity to be able to step away and not need to trade, right? I think another really good position that you're in, Kurt, is you don't need the money from your trading. It allows you to not feel pressed to pay rent. And I think that's a huge factor. So then once you decided to get back into the funding challenge, you told me today you're up 6% on one of the accounts now. How long does it take you to make the 6%? And then tell people just about like how many trades a day you're taking versus how many markups a day you're doing and that side of things.
So I started Q4 off with my funding account. Got started, I'm up just over 6% now. It wasn't bad. November was a very good month for me. I think I had a 87% success rate during the month.
That's great.
My two losing days and my one losing day was off tilt. Chucked 4% away and recouped 2% on my trade setups because I was rushing. I realized what was happening. I removed myself from the charts, recentered, came back in. Here's my two trades. I took them. We down 2%. Okay. Come back on Monday, rinse and repeat. We start the process again. We up 6%.
We had a tough call. You called me straight away, Coach. Remember that? Because I just had my call as well.
I'm one of those people. So I'm probably I can give myself a lot of shit for doing stupid shit. It's just the way I was raised. I'm like, you asshole. What? Why? What were you thinking? You know, your trade presented an hour later and you messed around and you chucked 4% away. Needless to say, we got that back up and running. We that November was a very active month for myself. I had a very good month. I think I had a trade almost every day during November, where 2 days were ended in the red. And then I went into December and I said, you know what, I'm going to take my foot off the gas. Q4 is almost done. I've got 2 weeks left. I go on vacation. Why risk it now? And I've taken two trades this month, both winners. And I think out of the two trades I've done, I've probably done about 8 to 9 markups on a day on
Ah,
trades that on my reads, my daily analysis on what POIs I was looking at. Laura and I had a chat about it, one of our other Black Shirt Club members. But I literally just, I did more markups than I've actually traded. So
so
yeah, that is.
I want to ask you then, Kurt, in your trading at the moment, right? You favoring currencies at the moment, so the foreign exchange market. That's one factor I want to ask about first, and then I've got another question, but the answer to the first one, you are sticking to currencies predominantly at the moment, right?
All right, traders, listen up. Before we continue with today's podcast, I have to share with you some important information because a lot of you come to me asking, how can you help me make more money, Austin? What does that process look like? The simple answer is you join the Black Shirt Club, which is our all-inclusive 12-week trading mentorship program, and you work with me every single day. In the Black Shirt Club, we don't just trade together. You get weekly private coaching sessions. You also get a year for free. That's $550 worth of value to trade Zella, to track your trades, to journal properly. So we actually have some data to make the adjustments from. But really, I think the bigger overarching thing you get in the Black Shirt Club is accountability and feedback from traders with more experience than you. Those two things alone are worth thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars. Because think about it, you're learning how to make unlimited income and you're saving yourself tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of dollars in potential losses. Remember, when I started trading, I had no mentorship. I lost almost $50,000 in the first 2 years. If I can save you from losing 50 G's, how much would you pay me? I want you guys to book a call with me. It's probably flying in up here. The link is in the description. Book a call. It's 10 minutes. It's free. If the Black Shirt Club is something that you're interested in, it is a little bit of a time commitment. It's for serious traders, not brand new people, but you get everything included. Like I said, TradeZilla, my course is included. I'll even give you a month free of ASFX TV. So book a call if this interests you. Let's hop on and see if you're a good fit. It's not for everybody. I am definitely selective in who I allow into the club, but if I think I can make an impact on you after that welcome call, we'll get rolling. We'll get the 12 weeks popping and we'll get you making more money. Link is down below. Like I said, maybe it flew in above my head. Tap it, book the call, and I'll speak with you guys soon. Again, thank you for being a listener of the podcast. Let's get back to the video.
I'm sticking to currencies due to the spread that I got and my lot size multiplier for indices. I've de-risked a lot, so I've dropped my initial. I used to be a 1% trader on every trade.
Yeah.
Risk a percent, win it or lose it. And logically, when I sat back and I thought about it, in a funding challenge, you lose 8 trades in a row. And we all know you go through a spell where you've got to have a losing streak. That funding account's blown. De-risk, drop my risk sizes so I can be in the game longer and wait for my winning streaks to come and see me through the losing streaks. And if it was just too big on SPX for me on my 100K accounts that I'm running, it's got a 0.1 lot size, and that's a percent gain every time I enter a trade. And I just didn't want to put that risk on there. So I'm still marking up my indices. I'm still focusing on indices. I can trade that on my personal accounts. But my bread and butter at the moment is FX. And funny enough, my baby is GDP USD. Like 90% of my trades in this quarter is GDP USD. I went and I backtest 3 years, took my strategy with everything I learned to the Black Shirt Club, my A2 strategy with Brian's book that I've gone through Brian's book twice now on the VWAP. And I've started building the A2 around what I'm looking for. And I might trade the VWAP a bit different to most of the other guys. Certain people would get in on a break of a VWAP. I don't. I wait for the retest. Generally, it comes back. Your A2 will paint more or less on that zone. And that's when I get in. So Forex pairs at this moment in time is my bread and butter. And that's how I'm up on my funding.
Okay.
Accounts.
The second question then is, is why aren't you trading NASDAQ like the South African NASDAQ killers? But no, what would you say to fellow South African traders that are a bit skeptical of the currency market and of trading mentors such as Austin, myself, Tom, and the guys at ASFX?
think the biggest problem that that I've noticed, and you talking about the Nasdaq killers in South Africa, we all have a laugh about it. Yeah, look, the boys can make some money. They play news events, right? They can't win them all. We see the winners, we don't see the big losers and the slippage that happens in the back end. But people are selling people this lifestyle of luxury cars, big rollies. I'm not into that. I'm here for the long term. I want to make money consistently with a strategy that's back tested. I don't gamble. I don't go to a casino. So why am I going to do it with my funding accounts and my funding business? So to get a good mentor is a must. There's no two ways about it. I won't be sitting here after 12 months in the market still surviving. I won't. If I didn't have the coaches from the Black Shirt Club around, I didn't have the group of people that's in the Black Shirt Club, ASFX TV, all of that, it's a recipe for success. And then my take it, and I always say it, if the shoe fits, I'm sorry if I ruffle a couple of feathers. If you're not going to do the work, don't bitch and moan that it doesn't fucking work, because the problem does not lie with the strategies and the people around and your mentors. The problem sits with you because you don't want to put in the work. End of discussion.
Is it just, I think, like anything else in life, people will have more bark than bite. They just talk more than they say they want to make money from trading, but they think they want it to be this easy thing. That's what you're saying, right? And it's not.
Yeah,
And it requires a lot of work. That's what people should hear from you, is that it does require a lot of
exactly.
work. Even with
Because
strategy, even with coaching, it still requires a lot of work.
I think I'm the first one on the BSC in the morning. I think I'll drop the first one, and then James and then the rest of the boys will come in. I do my markups. Even if I have meetings, I set alerts on my TradingView. Even if I'm out at a lunch with work, I get an alert. All right, perfect. I'll pin it. I'll do my markup on that trade because that's where I wanted to get in. You have to put in the work. The human body works this way. The human body will always survive. You know, we'll always take the easiest route to get somewhere. And us as humans do the same thing. I want the big houses and the fancy cars, but I don't want to do the hard work. Do the work, end of it.
Are you? I think you should talk maybe for a second, Kurt, about your background. Like, because maybe that's a quality of you that allows you to be successful in trading, is that you are willing to put in the work. So, talk about that in your background a little bit, maybe from like even childhood. Like, have you always
Yeah.
been a hardworking person, or is it something you've had to
If my mom and them are watching this, they'll probably tell you a different story if they ever.
learn?
So I think it's a South African thing. Like James played provincial rugby. I never got to the level that James played. Also, strict regiment, had training, played schoolboy rugby. I played cl club rugby during the season. So you would literally be on the field 5 days a week, literally training as a youngster. From there, I wanted to go to the UK. My old man just said, "Listen, I'm not going to give you the money to go muck around for 2 years. You do it yourself." I worked two jobs. Got home at 12 o'clock after the bar. 5 o'clock was up for my day job. I put in the work to be able to establish that. When I was doing bodybuilding, I trained 6 days a week. I had a strict regiment that you eat at this time. My body was even conditioned to the point where I would wake up in the middle of the night just to go have a protein shake with egg whites. So I like structure. My dad was a military man.
But
I
even
was
everything
raised.
you just mentioned, yeah, see, military background from your dad, everything you just mentioned requires a lot of discipline. You don't do any of those things half-assed,
Any man that wears a John Deere hat is a hardworking man.
But You're right, bro.
you know, like your country folks down in the US, and
Yeah.
I'm that version down in South
That's why
Africa,
we get
except
along.
yeah.
No, that's amazing. No, I think that is important to highlight. Probably should have brought that up earlier in the podcast, just your background of how that has helped lead to giving you the qualities. I think because there are certain qualities that transition into successful trading. I think like if you take someone who doesn't do anything disciplined in their life at all, James, right? Like how likely is it that that person makes money
Yeah, very
consistently?
unlikely.
Very
Yeah,
unlikely, right?
very, very unlikely. Yeah, but I think that's been. I think the big thing though that Kurt did well when he came into the BSC is I've worked with a few South Africans. In fact, actually, most of the successful people that I've worked with have been, I mean, we've worked with Chris, we've worked with CB, worked with Kurt. So a lot of the South Africans come in, and but something that that actually all of them have done well, but Kurt particularly, is that when I tell them to do something, they actually take it, and they're not like, oh, well, stuff, this guy doesn't know what he's talking about. They actually go and they go and implement it. Like, I'll tell a lot of guys that I've worked with, just, dude, go do this. And then next week I come and I'm like, bro, you haven't even done it. And I'm like, well, I don't know what to say. Like, I can't do the work for you. But Kurt go and he actually does it. I'm like, dude, don't trade between this time and this time, because that's...
And he listens.
Rollover of day.
He's coachable.
And he's like, okay. And then he doesn't, he goes and he actually does what I tell him to do. So that's it was a big factor as well, I think, for him. He was able to be coached. Yeah. Who's this guy telling me he's 25? Who's this guy telling me what he's doing? He's a bald clown.
Humility, no ego. Like, I think those are other good words that come up. And that was, again, what we talked about in London. Kurt, it sucks you didn't come to the seminar in London. I know that would have been something for us to have, like, a really good cherry on top at the end of the year. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it would have been great. But the only problem, like, with our South Africans, our passport means nothing. So
no, it's crazy.
Anywhere in the world I want to go, I need a visa.
Kurt and I would have drank all the brandy at the place away.
Yeah, exactly.
It was like the meetup with Austin down in Atlanta, and something I was never privy to. You have to go ask them to open your drinks thing up again so I can have another pint. And this woman just looks at me like, again. I'm like, yeah. Our South Africans are built different. I like a good beer, man.
Yeah, yeah, 100%. What would you say, Kurt, to some of the guys that are thinking about joining the Black Shirt Club, but they're on the fence? Like, what would you do to say, hey, or maybe let me ask it like this. How would you answer this question? If you're going to spend the money to join the Black Shirt Club, if you just do this, you won't waste your money. What would you say? What's the one thing?
Do it. Because you can, money is one of those things, and that's probably also part of the person I am. I can desensitize myself to money. And that's probably why it works for me in training. You know, I don't freak out when I put a position in. But you can make money again. Cut your learning curve shorter. Spend the goddamn money. Get into the BSc and put in the work. If I can do it, anyone can do it.
Yeah.
End of discussion.
That's a good point.
Pay the money. Take the call. Do it.
If he can do it, he's a dumb Dutchman. He can, if anyone can do it.
they call me a rock spider, man.
That's so funny. So, Kurt, what about to fellow South Africans that have been scammed like yourself? What would you say to them? Don't give up. Is that the best advice you have? Keep looking.
Yeah. And if you really want it that bad, pull the trigger, spend the money. And I understand for a South African right now, it's 22-1. I pay $1,000. That's 20. Goddamn K. That's more than most people earn in a normal job in South Africa.
Yep.
You can't put a price on education. And it might sound cliche. It might sound cliche, but spend the goddamn money. You gotta be in 60K after your 12K, after your 12-week mentorship. And I promise you, if you put in the work, you will be able to make a success of it.
People are gonna think I paid you to say all this, Kurt.
Like I said to you and James, you're not getting rid of me. I'm staying in the BSC, so it is what it is.
Bro, we're happy to have you. I feel like you've become a part of the group where, like, people look to you for guidance now because they know you've gone through the machine and that you're proof the machine works, just like James is, just like Tom has been. As far as, like, just a couple more questions for you on, like, the technical side of your trading, Kurt, what would be some of the advice you would say to the guys that are maybe over trading? How could you know, maybe to help them, like the guys that just say, Kurt, I can't stop over trading. What would you tell them as good advice?
So something I did is, I hated doing markups. It's boring. It's the same thing because it's the same trade setup, the same look and feel every single time I mark up a trade.
Yep. Yep.
So I started making notes of my emotional state. What am I feeling at that moment in time? How do I feel when I wake up in the morning? So when you do go through a bad patch, I can marry up my emotional state on that day with a DRC of how my performance was. You really don't need to trade 20 trades a day. one trade set up a week with big cannons behind you, you are making money. Don't put all your eggs in the basket, in the market. There are people a lot brighter, a lot smarter than all of us with big money. They move it. Get your edge, rinse and repeat, simple as that, and make money.
What do you say, James, to the over traders?
Yeah, I think, I've learned enough. I've learned enough from over trading that I need to stop doing that shit. I mean, I've learned in the last 3 months, I can still be susceptible to it. But the last 2 months, I've brought it back in and I'm pulled my way out. I'm almost fully out of drawdown now. So, and I've been quite open about that. So I think I like what Kurt says. He's always on our calls. He always says, I need to get some big cannons and you're 1% a month. Can be, you know, $5,000 for which for South Africans, I think for anyone actually is a lot of money, you know. So so yeah, just I think once you start to realize that less is actually more in trading, and it's obviously one of our things: do less, do it better, do it bigger. Once you have bigger capital, you do trade less and you make more money. So it's like, you know, through my journey in trading, once I realized that you don't actually need to trade a lot to make money, you just need to trade well. And I think that you have to kind of experience it for yourself. I was actually sitting on a coaching call with one of our members today, and he's still new into trading. And he was like actually saying he actually realized a few things for himself. And I was like, I know, but I've been telling you this for the last 8 weeks we've been working together. And he's like, I know, but I needed to experience it myself. And I was like, I'm glad you're starting to see that. Like, I can cry until the, you know, cows come home to tell you to do something, but until you actually get burnt enough, that's when you actually, it starts to hurt.
Because experience is still the best teacher, right? That's what you're
yeah,
saying.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. Yeah.
I think when it comes to another strength that Kurt has is his ability, like you said, to be coached, but specifically in the area of overtrading. Because I know that that was something that when you first came into it, Kurt, like many people, you were thinking more trades, more money. But you can hear in the way that you talk now, you clearly understand that it is not more trades, more money. You can make more money with more capital on the same small move that somebody makes $5, you can make $5,000. It is an amazing thing for you guys how trading in the US dollar, getting paid out from prop firms in the US dollar, goes so far in your country. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, we just have to ask our president to open his mouth and we flip a 15 to 1 to 22 to 1. So he must just keep on mouthing off and making stupid decisions and we make money. We don't have something, to 10x account.
Something that's interesting that you and I talked about, Kurt, in Atlanta was I asked you, when people get South African rand, do they convert it to US dollars when they want to invest? And including you, every South African I've talked to about that says yes, which is just so funny because everybody on the internet's like, BRICS is going to take over the dollar. The dollar's the end. It's like people have no idea how bad it can be if your currency sucks. Like, no offense, the rand sucks, right?
Exactly.
Right.
It's worthless, you know.
Worthless.
That's why the US dollar, I mean, if I travel as well,
what my do you dollars use? Come
back to me, they go into my safe. I don't give them back.
Right.
I'm going to use it again in a couple of months' time. So,
right.
No, I'm not giving up the dollar.
No, definitely not. Definitely not. Okay, this has been good, boys. I really appreciate the time, Kurt. I think that I don't do these episodes too often because I don't like to just make it like an advertisement for the Black Shirt Club. But I think that I want to also highlight the success of the students like yourself, and that way, 2024, we can do another episode and look back on this one and be like, look, that was a good ending to 2023. And now we'll see what the success, you know, how many funding accounts you pass, how many payouts you get this year. Me and James are running it up this year, right? James, that's the goal for everybody in the Black Shirt Club. Big funded accounts, big payouts.
Yeah, we should actually do a competition, like a friendly competition between us three and Tom and Ev and
see who gets the most payouts in 2024. Yeah.
I'm bringing the NASDAQ boys out of South Africa.
Ah, there it is. Then you'll win. You'll definitely win.
You'll win the count. Who blows the most accounts? You'll win that.
That's what it'll be for sure. For sure. But listen, thanks again, boys. I appreciate you both. For our listeners, thank you very much. Make sure you're subscribed. Make sure you connect with Kurt. I'll put his Twitter down below so you guys can follow along in his journey. But for now, we'll put a pin in it and we'll see you guys in the next episode. Thanks, boys.
Love, peace, and chicken grease.
I love it.